Our Heavenly Father, we honor and praise your name this morning. We just glorify you. We just adore you, Lord, and lift you up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we say that you are glorious in all your ways. You are righteous and you are holy. Thank you, Lord. And the seraphims and cherubims and everyone said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth, hallelujah, is full of his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We declare that the earth, our lives will be filled with the glory of God, even on this day, in Jesus' name. I declare that we will experience the presence, the power of God in the name of Jesus. We declare that a fire of the Holy Spirit be ignited in us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We have been called as a kingdom of priests to show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. We honor and praise your name. Now, O Lord, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light cause it to shine in our hearts this morning and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, the saints are moving into kingdom position. Finally, that's right. We are now moving into kingdom position. There is something that the Lord must do in us and even through us as we begin to move into position. Praise the Lord. I want to start by reading for us today out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. Praise the Lord. We'll start there. I have seen servants, he said, upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now, that's a travesty. When servants are riding in chariots, and those who are princes are walking on foot, that's a reversal of roles, reversal of privileges. Now, servants should not be the ones riding in chariots while princes are walking on foot. The princes should be riding in chariots. Glory to God. Well, it's been long enough that the princes have walked on foot. They need to now move into position and ride in chariots. Hallelujah. And ride also upon horses like they are supposed to, even from what God ordained from the beginning. The Lord said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Hallelujah. Well, we don't quite see the dominion in every aspect. Man has actually had dominion in a lot of things, but not everything just yet. We've seen dominion in space, even in science. We've seen dominion sometimes even in medicine, you know, to some degree. And we've seen all kinds of things, you know. But, you know, for the true saints of God, according to the book of Psalms chapter 8, we are told that there is a dominion that we are supposed to enter into, but doesn't look quite like it yet. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, Psalm 8 and verse 3, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, and thou visitest him. Well, said thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Yet you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, even the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. I mean, this is the end state. It was the beginning state, but through the fall, we lost it. And it is prophesied and declared to be the end state. Again, praise the Lord. Now listen to this scripture in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, this is what God has in mind for us. Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, he said, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We already are sons of God. It's not like we're going to be. We already are. However, doth not quite yet appear what we shall be. We're not quite there yet. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, in the final analysis, by the time he comes, we would have grown into the fullness of his image. We shall be just like him. We shall see him as he is. And we will know, even as we are known. And every man that hath this hope in himself better purify himself, even as Christ is pure. But let's consider this statement. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that's John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. What does it mean that we will be like him? For we shall see him as he is. Now the word for is a conjunction between what was said before and what is yet to come. So when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, prophetically speaking, even now, that means what he reveals, the attributes of himself that he opens up and reveals to us, that's the appearing. What you see and adore in him is what you can become. That's pretty much what it is. Now, we know that this scripture is also talking about when the Lord shall eventually come in that sense. But now, because he's saying, well, you will see him as he is the reason why you can be like him. Well, that means also that what you see and adore in him, when the Lord begins to reveal his holiness and he begins to reveal his character in us, what we begin to see in him and understand of him is what we can become. And as you adore his attributes, his holiness, his righteousness, that's what we can become. As you adore his glory, that's what makes us enter into his glory. Praise God. You know, so the Lord is good unto us, and he wants us to understand what he has for us. In the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus declared and said, I appoint you a kingdom. Hallelujah. Even as my Father appointed me, so I appoint unto you. And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Let's read it again. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. That's right. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, well, there's coming a time that we will literally sit with him at the table. But, you know, figuratively, even now, there's a seat for us at the table. And there's a seat that God has prepared for us at the table. And how do we position ourselves into that? Well, let's talk about it for a little bit this morning. You know, first, we have to understand what it is that we're talking about when we say the saints are moving into kingdom position, not just some random position. Kingdom position, that means our position in his kingdom. Well, let's talk about his kingdom for a little bit. You know, when I get on the subject of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, I get excited because that's what it's all about. That was what it was all about from the beginning. And that's what Adam was supposed to do. Bring in that kingdom, you know, and rope everything in, get everything into alignment, extend the kingdom of heaven, you know, into the dominion on the earth through the righteousness of God and the glory of God. That's what he was supposed to do. But did he do it? No. But here we are, still removed from what God had in mind. And Christ, he came, paid the ransom to get everything back and put everything in order. But there is a necessity of some cleansing that must be done. You know, get all things that offend out of the kingdom. Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, we read in the story of Daniel, in that chapter, how Daniel would interpret the dream of one king, Nebuchadnezzar, of Babylon. You know, and not only was he going to interpret the dream, God would show Daniel the dream himself. So you might say that it's also Daniel's dream. Because Daniel, first of all, had to dream the dream. You know, and then he gave the interpretation. And he said, look, God is showing the king all the things that will come to pass. As the king saw a huge image with a head of gold, he saw that his breasts and arms were of silver, his belly and his thighs were of brass. He saw that the legs, they were partly of iron and partly of clay. And then he said in verse 34 of Daniel chapter 2, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with our hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away. That was, and there was found no more place for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And take note of that. Now, and he said, well, that is the dream. And let's tell you the interpretation thereof. Began to tell him of he being King Nebuchadnezzar being the king at the time, and his kingdom was in place. And after him, there will arise another kingdom. You know, he was the head of gold. You know, another kingdom will arise after him, and a third kingdom also, you know, inferior kingdoms and so forth, you know, the brass and all these things and so on. You know, so he began to explain it to them, to the king and his, you know, his wise men. Daniel was explaining it. And he said that, look, as you see each of these elements, the gold, you know, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay, and all of these things. And finally, a stone that smashed the image. He said, well, this is what is going to happen. You know, the kingdoms that will be coming replaced by other kingdoms and so on and so forth. At a time when the kingdom is like iron and clay mixed up in the toes, the 10 toes that he had at that time, he said, well, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and that new kingdom shall stand forever. Now, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of mountain without hands, that's right, it's going to be the Lord's doing, and it's going to be marvelous in our eyes. That stone will be cut out of mountain without hands, not going to be by any man's doing. And it'll break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. He said, this is what it means. God has shown you what will come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And this is what the Lord is saying. He said, the Lord is going to show you. The Lord is showing you what he is going to do. Praise the Lord. And furthermore, Daniel had other visions of this coming kingdom of God. You know, he had some other visions of his own. As he says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days and brought him down. And there was given him dominion, that's right, and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, that's the dominion that the Son of God, the Christ, will have. But he has his own kingdom. He said, I beheld, you know, there was a horn that rose up and made war with the saints. And, you know, looked like he actually did a lot of things. But he said, look, the saints of the Most High, this is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18, the saints of the Most High shall possess, he said, they shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, this is what we're talking about today. The saints moving into kingdom position. They will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever. Well, what kingdom will they take? Well, this is the kingdom that shall not be destroyed. This is the one, you know, that is part of God's domain. Remember, kingdom means a king's domain. Kingdom. So in God's kingdom, in all places of his dominion, which will be an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed, there will come the time that the saints of God shall take that kingdom and possess it forever and forever. And even in those times, there will come the making of war against the saints from the horn, that power of the Antichrist system that will try to wear out the saints. It's been happening for years now. been trying to wear out the saints, wear them out. Even the first part of this year was wearing out the saints, coming up against us with so many different things, you know. And finally, the time came, says, until the Ancient of Days came, in verse 22 of Daniel 7. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints should possess the kingdom. And the time is here. And even now, remember, Jesus would say things like, the hour is coming. Huh? And sometimes he would say, and now is. Sometimes he would just say, the hour is coming. When all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. You know, and some will rise to life, some will rise to condemnation. And sometimes he will also say, the hour is coming, and now is. Glory to God. And those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So let me say it also like this. Praise the Lord. The hour is coming, but now is already, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John 4 and 23. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let me also say this, that the hour is coming, and now is, that the saints will now move into position. Praise the Lord. In the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, only one chapter in that book, and in verse 17, we read as follows. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. Hallelujah. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Well, it means that they either didn't possess it before that, or somehow they had lost it. But it means they will regain it. You know? There's no need saying they shall possess their possessions if they already have it. You know, so they didn't have it somehow. Or they lost it. But they will regain it. Glory to God. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph a flame. That's right. And then they will, you know, treat the house of Esau for stubble. They kindle in them. Devour them. Burn them up. Hallelujah. You know, and there shall be nothing remaining of the house of Esau. But the Lord has spoken. Well, house of Esau represents the lineage, the stem of the evil and the wicked branch and the wicked stem, the wicked seed. And the house of Jacob and house of Joseph here represents the righteous seed. There will be a fire eventually and burn and consume works of darkness. They move into position. Praise the Lord. And the hour is coming, and now is. And you know, even the world is looking for this to happen. But sometimes the people of God have shied away from their responsibilities. Now, we can no longer shy away from our responsibilities. I read to you a story in the book of Judges, chapter 9. The book of Judges, chapter 9, verse 8. There was a time that the trees went forth to anoint and to appoint a king over them. Now, all the trees of the field. They said, well, we need a king over us. So, first they came to the olive tree. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. That's what they said. They said, reign over us. So the olive tree said, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? So the olive tree rejected. They were looking to the olive tree. They knew that this olive tree was one of the best trees. So all the trees came to look, reign over us, take position over us. Olive tree said, no, you know, can't do that. I've got other things to do. All right. But they looked up another goodly tree. They said, well, the fig tree is also, you know, a good tree. So they said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. And the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? No, I'm not going to do it. Okay. They looked yet for another goodly tree. There were three goodly trees they sought out. So they went to the vine and said, reign over us. And the vine said, should I leave my wine wherewith I cheer God and man and then go to be promoted over the trees? I'm not going to do it. So the wine, the olive, the fig, and the vine trees rejected the offer. And the people said, come, we will submit to you, reign over us and direct us in things of righteousness. And these people said, no, we're not going to do it. We got other business. And so finally they said, well, okay, we've gone to all the goodly trees to take position over us and they wouldn't do it. So let's go to the rubbish trees. That's right. So now they went to the bramble tree, which was the rubbish tree. And they said, come and reign over us. And so, of course, the rubbish tree said, well, if you indeed you make me king, well, then put your trust under my shadow. Otherwise, I'm going to consume you all. You know, now, ladies and gentlemen, learn this parable of the olive, the fig, the vine, and the bramble trees. The olive, the fig, and the vine are the children of the kingdom that should come into position, but they rejected their position. The bramble is the unrighteous seed that you sub that position because, and basically it's like, you know, the people that should be there didn't do it, so they turned to something else. And if we as the people of God don't step up, we'll continue to see this happening. The world will continue to look for answers in the wrong places. So we must step up. Now, glory to God. You know, I want to show you that in the early church, from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they stepped up. In fact, at one time they said, these people have turned the world upside down. Well, I say they turned the world right side up. They stepped up. And there was fear among the people. You know, these people stepped up. It was like, look, Bible even said no man dared to join himself unto them because there was fear among them. You know, among the people, these people even said, my goodness, they just stepped up. They stepped up big time. You know? And we need experience such a thing again, that we will step up into our position. You know, I'm praying about it. There's coming a time curve in my life too, you know, and this month, that time curve will take another dimension. And I believe that I need to step up into something even greater. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord says, well, during the month of rest is when you step up. It's when you build. It's when you strengthen. It's when you, you know, it's only the beginning, not the end, but it's the beginning of months to you. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I remember once when I was a young man many years ago, I experienced something that looked like the book of Acts. And there was wonder and fear among the people. And they didn't just carelessly try to join. For the Holy Spirit had to draw them. And there was great amazement among the people. Because there were signs and wonders all the time. I mean, it was like, you know, I mean, the young people of my time, who were like, back in the day, just moving, living, and walking miracles. You know, just everywhere you went, signs and wonders following. And the people were afraid. So we wouldn't join them. You know, say, wow, these people, they are something else. But over time, you know, the people began to settle in, you know, get choked up by the cares of life. You know, back in the day, they didn't care for anything. They were teenagers and young. And even though they were in college, they didn't care anything about that. All they cared about was the kingdom. You know, and they hadn't got bogged down with all the things. Now, the same generation that I'm talking about from that time, they are now in their 60s. Some of them are going into their 70s. There will be very few of them that will be in the late 50s. They are in the 60s now. And where are they now? Settled in into this state of, I don't even know what to call it. You know, nowhere to be found. You know, nowhere to be found. Yet the world is still looking for the olive, the fig, and the vine. But God is calling upon the younger generation too. There is some power that God has put upon the young generation because of the natural fitness that they have. John the Apostle said, young men, I have written unto you because you are strong. You have overcome the devil. He said, therefore be strong and do overcome him. Stand in that strength. You know, there is coming a reawakening, you know, and my prayer is, Lord, those of us who started this journey years ago, decades ago, coming out of, you know, Egypt, so to speak, I mean, the message back then was, come out of her, my people. And we all came out of those Babylonian systems. The religious systems, we started to follow the Lord. But we've wandered around in the wilderness now, I don't know, you know, since the late 70s. It's like 40 years of going around in circles. And many have died in the wilderness. And I'm not making it to the promised land. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to make it to the promised land. Because, look, manna from heaven is good. Maybe. Sometimes. It might even breed worms sometimes if you don't do it right. But the promised land is better. I'm going to speak on that in some days to come. But right now, we need to start moving into position. Now, the things that don't allow us to move into position, Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 13. He gave a lesson of a sower that went out to sow. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A sower went out to sow. He would later interpret the parable. And he interpreted the parable as, you know, this word of God being the seed that was sown. And so people hear this word. What did they do with it? A couple of days ago, I spoke on, you know, what are you going to do next when you hear his word? You know, God doesn't care what you did before. What he cares about is what you're doing now. And this moment, in fact, he said, at what instant? You know, I say to a nation, any nation, you know, I talk to them. I mean, that nation may have been doing well before and so on, or even any people. You know, if they should leave their righteousness and go into sin and die in their sin, then they will die in their sin. You know, and if someone at the same time, you know, was in a sin before and they left their sinning and turned into righteousness, then they will be righteous. You know, so the same God that had taught to do us good when we turned our hearts to him, with all our hearts, he said, look, if you turn away and fall back into sin and you die in your sin, then you die in your sin. Number, so we're not going to die in this wilderness. We're going to the promised land. Praise the Lord. People have gone around in circles, and the Lord finally said, look, you have dwelt long enough on this mount. Enough already. It's time for you to go to the promised land where I promised you. And the people said, well, you know, I don't know about that. You know, we'd rather go back to Egypt. Or they said, well, we really can't do it. There are too many giants on the way. You know, and so on. They find all kinds of reasons and excuses to not go forward into what God had promised. Always going backwards in their minds. Always going backwards. People that turn back from the Lord all the time. You know? But a couple of them would go forward. Their names were Caleb and Joshua. They're like, look, we can go and do this. What is the voice of two among so many, saith the Lord? Well, there was a man called a lone voice in the wilderness. In Isaiah chapter 40. A voice crying in the wilderness. It was a lone voice. And he came, you know, in that spirit. John the Baptist came. They called him the forerunner of Christ. But it was a lone voice. It was like, nobody, you know, it was just way out there. It was kind of weird. It was a, you know, weird guy. This day they call him some kind of a weirdo, you know, because he was out there in the jungle, in the bush, in the wilderness, wearing, you talk about consecration. You try wearing camel skin, the rough side on the inside of your skin. That's how it worked. You know, the smooth side outside, the rough on the inside, you know. You talk about eating wild honey and bees and all these things and so forth. Which is a wild man, he looked like. Kind of like Elijah the Tishbite. A rustic figure like that. Come out from nowhere. Well, it was like a lone voice. It's a voice crying in the wilderness. There are a few voices today that are crying, you know, and trying to sound the trumpet and the alarm. But again, you know, what will the people do? What will you do when you hear the voice of God? How will you respond today if you hear his voice? Scripture says, harden not your hearts. You know, as in the provocation. Well, here's a call right now that I'm putting out today. If you hear it, here it is for you. In the book of Matthew chapter 11. Let me put this call out right now. And verse 12. From the days of that voice in the wilderness called John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is waiting to be taken. That's right. Still waiting to be taken. The saints must step up and take the kingdom. They're not going to be, you know, pushovers that can take it. Most of the people, even the 10 out of 12 spies, they were pushovers. They couldn't do it. With their own mouths, they said, we can't do it. There were only 2 out of the 12 that said, yes, we can. And yes, we will. Let us go up at once. Every other one said, no, we can't do it. But this must be taken by force. Nobody's going to give it to you. You know, Jesus is the one that gave it to us. But the world is not going to give it to you. The devil is not going to give it up either. I mean, Jesus told many parables, you know, of how he will give us the kingdom. He even told the parable of, you know, the strong man that's sitting with his goods in his palace and he thinks everything is secure until he's stronger than he comes upon him. Binds him. So he's not going to give it up easy. Oh, no. You know. Will the lawful captive be delivered, you know, from his captor? He's not going to give it up easy, but going to take it from him. That's right. The saints must move into position to take and possess their possession. You read Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17 that we read. You see what he says about, you know, people of Mount Zion coming into their possession, and you jump over, you know, to the book of Hebrews, you know, and then you read in chapter 12 of Hebrews that we are now called unto a spiritual Mount Zion. He said, but ye are come, in verse 22 of Hebrews 12, unto Mount Zion. And this is a new Zion, not the physical one. You know, we are called now into the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, not the local Jerusalem. The ordinances of heaven are set in order to bring their dominion upon the earth. God told Job that. In Job 38 and verse 33, do you understand how to cause the will of God to be done upon the earth? You understand it? Job kept his mouth shut, put his hand in on his mouth. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, in the days to come, let me say this, by the grace of God, we will show how to cause the will of God be done in the earth. It's called the ordinances of heaven. How things are done in heaven. How they come to bear upon the earth. The dominion thereof. Job 38 and 33. Do you understand it? Yes. We do understand it now. We are the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which have been written in heaven. Even before the world began. Hallelujah. So we are come now. And we are ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to step up, or are you going to let the bramble bush take your place? Is the house of Jacob and the house of Joseph, are they ready to be that fire and that kindle the house of Esau? For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood, Isaiah said. Huh. But he said, well, this time around, they are going to be a fire. You know, there's no blood, there's no rolling of garments and all these things on their side. They are going to consume their enemies. They're going to take their rightful position. Listen to this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and let's read verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood. But this time around, shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. Because the house of Jacob shall be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame. And they will kindle together the house of Edom and take it away from them. Glory to God. Now, God has already put the ordinances in place for a shift. Now, I'm not talking about material things necessarily. Yeah, that may be part of it. But, you know, every time people hear this kind of message, they're thinking of materialism. Well, that's the reason why we're nowhere. In the story of Matthew 13 that I was talking about, the seed that fell among thorns was because he was choked up by the cares of his life. You know, and that's it. Choked up. And that's why we flourished when we were younger. And we didn't care too much about any of those things. We just wanted, you know, to be in the kingdom and to be in the power of his might. And so we flourished. Now, when we began to care about the things of the world, get married, graduate, take up a job, and do all these things, become important in society, and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, those things choked out the life and the light. Now, nothing wrong with doing all those things if you do it right. I mean, Enoch, he was married. He had children. But yet he sought the Lord. And he walked with God. And he had sons and daughters. And yet he walked with God. But if you allow your sons and your daughters or your marriage or your career or whatever it is that you are pursuing to be number one, well, then you become like the fig the olive and the vine that say we can't do it. And I pray that we will not be like that. And let's step up and take the kingdom. We'll be talking about what it means, what that all means later on. But for you to know what that means, you first must understand what the kingdom is. I invite everybody to seek out kingdom lessons that we did on this platform some months ago. It's in the replay. I don't know that there is a good search feature in the replays, but scroll back and look for it. And the kingdom of God is here now. And it's ready for the taking. The violent, you know, like Joshua and Caleb, are the ones that are going to take it. And one day Caleb come out 45 years later and says to Joshua, Joshua was trying to divide the land. Says to him, listen, and listen good. When I went out with my brethren, as you know very well, all the others made the hearts of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. Therefore, the man of God, Moses, he said to me, thou shalt surely have this possession. And now today I stake my claim. Give me now this mountain, he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, he was a violent man. He claimed it too. And he told him, he said, look, you look at me now. I'm 85 years old. I was only 40 back then, but I'm still today as strong as I was. It took him 45 years to get that, you know, to get that blessing, enter into it. Many of those years were spent in the wilderness, you know, weeding out all the negativism. And the same thing is happening today. There are many reasons why these things that we have been expecting may have been delayed. Well, God had to weary out the negative bunch. It's been happening. You know, and some people that started this race well, they're falling back and say, well, to your tents, O Israel, or back to Egypt, or even back to the religious systems that they came out of. Some of them have gone back to those places. You know, because they say, well, you know, we've been hearing of this promise for a long time. And the devil also said, I know something. Smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. Well, there was a man that God raised up with a voice, even in our generation, to call for the sons of God to take their position. The devil said, well, take him out. When you take him out, you scatter the flock. And he did. You know, and so everybody said, well, to your tents, O Israel, you know, the promise of the Father, where is it anyway? I mean, we're talking about this thing forever anyway. I don't know, you know, and so everybody just quit, you know, but I guarantee you, God's people, the real saints of God, they're not quitters. They're moving into a position and that will yet, God will yet raise up. You know, voices that will call us back to attention. It's time. You know, when God wants to do whatever he wants to do, you know, first he announces it. He may have announced it decades or hundreds of years, even before. But as the time of promise begins to draw near, then there are certain things that God will do. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that the time of promise is now drawing near. According to Acts chapter 7 and verse 17, it says when the time of promise drew near, God began to do certain things. Well, the time of promise is drawing near. That's why God's pulling the people together and giving us these kinds of messages, you know, and trying to put us into position. But we must understand this. You know, what God is doing is more than just amassing or bringing physical wealth into your hands. He'll do that too. But that's not what he's doing. First, we get that power. We get the dominion. And we get the authority. But you can't do that too before, until you actually come into his real character. That's what he said. Make them in our image and likeness. So first, you know, you got to come into that image and likeness. You got to think like God. Act like God. You know, do like God. being his character. Now, when you are getting into that place, then you can have dominion. And God is not likely and won't give dominion into the hands of anybody that has not come into his image and his likeness. We were made in his image. We were made in his likeness. But we began to lose that through the fall. You know, by the time you get to, you start out with God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, making them in his image and likeness. You know, you see more detail given to us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, how God deposited into the man a full package of God. You know, but by the time you get to, you know, Genesis chapter 5, it's a different story. In Genesis chapter 5, you know, Adam is now going to bring forth sons in his own likeness. Not exactly in his own image, I mean the image of God, because, you know, he has lost that now. He's lost the glory. You know, there's no sin in the image and likeness of God. So now, you know, instead of bringing forth sons in the likeness and image of God, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image. Something's already lost in the translation by that time, ladies and gentlemen, because they did not have the mind of Christ. And they did not have the character of God at this point. They were already lost down through the line until finally someone steps up. And who is this someone that steps up? Well, you can read all about him in the book of Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, we see John experiencing visions of glory and different things. He finds himself in the vision and is enacting part of it. He sees a throne. He sees one that's sitting upon the throne. He sees a lot of things. You know, and then he sees a book in the hand of this one that's sitting on the book. He's considering the book and looking at it. And he sees that this book, obviously a book always contains something written inside. But he, you know, what draws his attention is that this book has seven seals around it. My goodness. And he's thinking, well, somebody comes out and says, who is worthy to take the book and to lose the seals thereof? There was an announcement made. And there was dead silence. They waited, waited, and waited for somebody to step up, take this book already and show us the contents, lose the books, the seals, and tell us what's inside. The book must be read. It's a book after all. You got to read the contents. So after I waited for a while, heaven was silent. Everybody was ashamed. All the prophets, all the apostles, angels, pastors, evangelists, everybody, all ashamed. There was nobody found anywhere that could step up. So John, he began to cry. You can read the story for yourself in Revelation 5. Began to cry, and he cried bitterly. Why are you crying, John? Because this book, so important that it has seven seals round about it, there must be something to that book. God doesn't need to seal anything more than once. I am he that locketh and no man can open. He puts one seal on it, nobody can do it, anything with it. And why seven seals? What's so important? You know, and as he was crying, somebody said to him, John, weep no more. Hallelujah. Someone that have prevailed to take that book. And this book is the title deed. Contains everything that Adam lost. You know, everything. It's all in there. And how it's all going to get it back. And God's going to show everything. You know. And he said, well, who is it? He said, well, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed to take the book. And so John's looking around for the lion. Someone that's going to come, some lion come out of the thicket, you know, roaring and everything. And, you know, and he turns around, but all he sees is a bloody lamb. Well, I thought you said a lion. And Jesus is showing us, well, that's how he did it. That's how he got the victory. That's how he got it all back. And one time the devil even told Jesus, look, I'll give you all these things because they are mine now. But all you got to do is do this thing for me and I'll give it to you. And Jesus said, no. I have a plan to pay the ransom. Ha! Le Kabo Shanderia Messiah. And when I do, you're going to have to give it up. I'm going to take it from you. And Jesus, he paid the ransom. And he went down and took it from him. He whooped that devil from pillar to post. He took from him the keys of hell and death and everything the devil had. He took it. Took it back. And we see him now stepping out of the shadows as a bloody lamp. He come out, took that book. Huh. Glory to God. Nobody else, ladies and gentlemen, no apostle, no pastor, no prophet, no angel could do it. But Jesus did it. Huh. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the one that did it? I mean, if God gave this into the hands of any man, you'll be lost forever. But they would not admit you into the kingdom. Because they would measure you by your failures. And they'd never let you get away from it. But Jesus, he wiped away all that. One time! Shed his own blood and entered into heaven itself. Not just some shadowy place like the priest used to enter into. But he entered into heaven itself. Ha! Now to appear in the presence of God for us and bring sons of God into position. Glory to God. Now, Jesus would be alone in his glory if he hadn't died. He said it himself, John 12 and 24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and died, it abides alone. And so Jesus knew that as long as he was there by himself, he would be the only Son of God. And that's not good enough. You know, that's just not good enough. God in the beginning wanted many sons to be brought to glory. Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also, predestinate them to be conformed, call them, predestinate them. They'll be conformed to the image of the Christ. It's also in his mind all along. So that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not just one and only, but the first. There was a time that Jesus was the only. but after he left captivity captive, he became the first among many brethren. And yes, and now he says, I and the children that you have given me are for signs and wonders. Now he can declare his name. So I will declare thy name, before my brethren. Now that's Jesus now declaring the name of the Father to the sons of the kingdom. And he said, I have declared to them thy name in John chapter 17. And I've told it to them. I came in my Father's name and he told it and he declared it to us. And now he said, I've given to you a kingdom. Glory to God. Now come, walk with me and come and build with me. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, will the people step up? Maybe and maybe not. So the choice is ours today. Will you step up? Give them an offer in Exodus 19 and 5. If you will indeed obey my voice and do that which I commanded you, keep my statutes and my ordinances, then you will be a kingdom, a royal priesthood unto me, kingdom of priests, a peculiar people. I choose you above everybody else. But they didn't do it. Well, today, the Lord renews the offer. Glory to God. He says it again. Come and take your rightful position. You don't need to be on foot while servants are riding on horses and chariots. Come and take your rightful position. Well, will the people do it? Well, even the creation is saying, look, we want you. We want you. We don't want the bramble bush. We want you. Well, are you going to step up? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to leave that to your imagination. today of what stepping up really means. We'll talk about it some more later on. But the time has come for the saints to possess their kingdom. The kingdom, you know, that will be given to the saints. That the kingdom will come to the saints and nobody will be able to take it from them. This kingdom will be forever and ever and ever. The people of the saints of the kingdom, they will take and possess it forever. And finally, we see in Revelation 11:15, now that's the end state. You know, as he began to peel back those seals, he opened one seal, we saw something happen. He opened another seal, we saw something happen. He opened yet another, we saw something happen. Finally, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Something was happening. Never happened in heaven before. There's never silence in heaven. They rest not night and day, saying, holy, 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 and all these things. But something happened. Something new. Behold, I make all things new. There's always something new that God is cooking. And something new is about to happen. Spectacular that all the angels, everybody desire to look into it. Well, finally, out of that seventh seal, glory to God. Something happened. Some seven angels step out with some trumpets and they began to blow. And finally, when that seventh angel blew his trumpet, we see in Revelation 11:15, said, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were voices that were heard in heaven. Now, this is the end state. This is it. You know, he said, look, now, glory to God. The kingdoms of this world that we've been talking about forever, you know, it's no more a future thing. It's now become a reality. Now, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And shall reign forever and ever. And before he died, I had to kick the devil out of heaven too. And the saints will win the battle. Or translation, the devil, he went on to look at it. He was looking. He said, well, show me some more. I said, well, I'll show you. A great wonder, a woman clothed with the sun and so forth. You know, moon under her feet, crown of stars and so on. Pregnant and trying to give birth, and the dragon standing before her, trying to devour. Well, dragon said, I'm going to prevent this birth. You're not coming forth. It's not going to happen. Well, he came forth. He said, well, if you come forth, I'm going to devour it. Well, he couldn't do it. Or translated heaven. He kept on losing and losing. And he was wrath and went and made war with the remnant of the woman. You don't want to be in that position. You want to be among the man-child that was translated. Glory to God. Cut up to heaven. And when he was cut up, then he said, well, now it's come salvation. See? So there was war in heaven then. He said, look, you know, the devil up to this point is still in heavenly places and different things. It's, you know, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. They're still in high places, not exactly heavenly, but high places. They're still in different places, usurping different things, doing whatever, trying to mingle in there. But the devil, coming a time, I'll be kicked out of there. Put it out. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the people say, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. He will put it out of heaven. Put it out to with all these angels. That's it. Can't do no more damage over there. So he's coming fury upon the earth. Now, anybody that's left at that time, well, God help them. So they're going to suffer the fury of the dragon. God's people are gone. You know, some people think, well, they're going to go through the tribulation. Be my guest if you want to do that. But yeah, I want to be in the man-child company that was cut up to heaven, to God and his throne. Because Jesus said, pray ye that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. There's a great escape, not because we're afraid of anything, but because God promised it. That's right. He promised it, and we are going to get it, because that's what he promised. But you have to pray to be counted worthy, just like Jesus was counted worthy. And they sang a song in heaven and said, "Thou art worthy, to take the book and to loose the seals thereof." And everybody bowed down. They're all going to bow down. Bow down. Everything will bow to Christ finally. They can do it now willingly or by what we call the rod of iron. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now moving into position. I am going to pray over the room. I am going to leave it there. This is more like just a, I want to say teaser, but I won't call it that. But just, you know, an introduction, let's put it like that, of what's coming. And finally, I believe the Lord is moving me to do the series that I've been wanting to do for a long time, because the time is at hand. Hallelujah. And when that angel stepped out of that seventh seal, the silence, he come out of there, a powerful, mighty angel. I mean, John was looking, who in the world is this? And he put one foot upon the sea and one foot upon the land, and raised his right hand, swear, him that liveth and liveth. Now, you better be careful now. Time no longer, no more delay. That's what that means. It is now time. The time of the promise has come. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, and I make all things new. And all that silence is coming, the appearing of the sons of the kingdom to take their rightful position. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big invitation out for you. There's a great celebration. That's going to happen. You know, a great celebration. Are you making preparation for that great celebration? That's going to happen shortly. It's happening now, gradually, like moving into position. And there's going to be one big celebration that's going to happen. And Jesus will come in his glory. Glory to God. Now, but before he does, there's certain things that we must accomplish. Put certain things in order. Well, you know, we're like the forerunner, you know. There was a John the Baptist that was the forerunner of the first coming of Christ. There will be something like that also, will be forerunner of the second coming of Christ. You know, they're coming out of the wilderness, coming out of obscurity. And they will be like John the Baptist. They'll be bold. They'll not be afraid of anything. Praise God. And they will announce and herald in the coming of Christ. And we are the day. There's no other generation, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and I pray that we are the generation. Because I don't want to die in the wilderness. You know, may we be that generation that will see this house in its new glory. Say, how many of you are here that saw the house in its former glory? Well, how do you see it as now? Well, I saw it by the grace of God in its former glory. And how is it in your eyes now, said the Lord? Well, I see nothing. Well, the Lord said, well, look again. You thought you saw nothing, but look again. You know, if I open your eyes, you will see something that you couldn't see. Look. Look over here. Look again. And then I begin to see. I told you so. You know, there is something that God is cooking. And you are invited to the banquet. Hallelujah. Come on in, said the Lord. But you got to step up. We got to cast away everything that is holding us back. You know, anything or the sin that so easily beset us and any other thing that's a problem, cast it away and come on in and let's have the glory of God come in upon us. 2 Corinthians 5, and we're talking about the house from heaven, a new thing that we're putting on coming, you know, and we are ready. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray over the room today, everyone that's listening to this, now or later, there might be a stirring up, a holy ambition, stirred up in the hearts of the people who want to be numbered among the overcomers, numbered among the ones upon whom this honor will be bestowed, that they will enter and possess their possessions. Glory to God. Now the king's scepter is stretched out to us. It's a golden scepter stretched out. Will you put your hand on it? And come on in. Will you walk with me? Blessed are they that overcome, saith the Lord. They shall walk with me in white. And I will make them to sit upon my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm set with my Father in his throne. And they shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and I'll be my son, also be my, they will be my people forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the great promise that we are now entering into. Our eyes will see it. One man said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. But the Holy Ghost showed it to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, now I have seen the Lord's Christ. Well, may our eyes see these things. Jesus said, blessed are your ears that are hearing about it now. And your ears and your eyes, I will see. Because look, many prophets, righteous men and so forth prophesied these things. And they wanted to see. They couldn't. Angels desire to look into it. But it's coming upon us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God has put you here at such a time for a reason and a purpose. And may it be fulfilled even in us, in Jesus' name. The Lord has great expectation for us. And by his grace, by his doing alone, we will not let him down. And we will not say no, like the fig, the vine, and the olive. But we will say yes. And we'll step up. I'm not going to let any bramble bush take our place. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for all your people. Let there be an awakening and a quickening inside of us. And we are ready to step into position. And you will reveal it to us in the days to follow. Step by step, what it all means. Thank you, Jesus. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.